want us to study this morning about what the New Testament has to say about the Old Testament and the use that the Christian should make, has a right to make, of the Old Testament Scriptures. So good to see everyone this morning as we're assembled together to worship God in spirit and in truth, especially thankful for the visitors that we have in our midst. Some have come from some distance. Perhaps we have some who are more local. Whatever's brought you our way, we're thankful for that and hope that you'll come back and be with us again the next time you have an opportunity. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, we'll assemble again for our afternoon worship service. And in that hour, I want us to study from 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to consider some lessons that we can learn from a very interesting event that happens in the life of the prophet Elisha. The Bible is full of these events that I read, I look at, and I say, you know, I wish I'd been there to see that. And this is one of those events. I hope that you'll come back with us at 3 as we study together. But this morning, I want us to consider the use that a New Testament Christian is to make of the Old Testament Scriptures. During the booth that we had at the county fair this past week, on Monday night, a question was brought to my attention by a member here that was helping me out and was there that night about churches of Christ going back to the Old Testament and using the Old Testament Scriptures as a source of authority for their practices and that error and how far-reaching that error is, and had I heard about that. And we had a short discussion about that then. The following night, one of the passers-by that stopped at the booth to talk with us for a little while, she made the point that all of the Bible is necessary, and that Old Testament, the Old Testament Scriptures are important to us, and we'd best not be neglecting the Old Testament Scriptures. I don't know where that comment came from, why she felt the need to make that point. I felt like replying, well, you need to come tomorrow night as we continue our study of Genesis. We're not avoiding and we're not ignoring the Old Testament Scriptures here at Knollwood. But back to back, that subject coming up, those two nights in a row, got me to thinking. And I wanted us to consider this morning in our study. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 15, the old King James Version says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." The newer translations say, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now think about that. We're all going to stand before the author of the Bible one day. And what is it that's going to prevent us from being ashamed as we stand before the author? Well, Paul says it is having the ability to rightly divide the word of truth. The most basic part of rightly dividing the word is realizing the significance of the most obvious division, isn't it? Your Bible, my Bible, is divided into the Old and New Testaments. That's the most basic division in our Bible. If we're going to rightly divide the word, shouldn't we start right there and understand what that division is all about? A failure to recognize the difference doctrinally between the Old and New Testaments results in a lot of problems. Problems understanding the will of God and doing the when questioned about their beliefs and their practices, some people will use Old Testament Scriptures to find their authority. Keeping the Sabbath, tithing, using instrumental music, abstaining from different foods, and that list can go on and on. And when we ask, where's the authority for that? Well, they don't hesitate to go back, well, David did that. Moses did that, and they're going back to the Old Testament to find their authority. And we, as we discuss authority, talk about authority from time to time, we make the point that the Old Testament is not where we go to establish our authority as New Testament Christians. That old covenant that is found in the Old Testament was made by God with the nation of Israel, not with all the world, but with the nation of Israel. And that covenant was made for a purpose. The purpose of that covenant was to bring the Savior into the world and to put Him on the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And when that was accomplished, that old covenant served its purpose. It was fulfilled and it was taken out of the way. Even the Old Testament speaks of the fact that a new and better covenant is coming. Paul says it very well, makes his point very well in Colossians 2 and verse 14, when he says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us in the context of Colossians 2, we know that was the law of Moses. It's been wiped out. It's been taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And so that law of Moses that we find detailed in the Old Testament was in effect until Jesus died on the cross. When He died on the cross, it was taken out of the way. Sometimes when you and I try to make that point with individuals, we will in turn be accused of not believing in the Old Testament. You all in the Church of Christ, you don't believe in the Old Testament. And I don't know for sure, but that may have been that point that lady was making when she stopped by the booth and saw who we were. Well, you all don't believe in the Old Testament. Well, let me tell you, that Old Testament is necessary, and we're accused of not believing in the Old Testament. That simply is not true. But to make matters worse, sometimes brethren get on that idea and they go with it as well and say, well, yes, we should avoid the Old Testament. We don't need to be sending mixed messages. If we have visitors in our assembly and we go back and we open up the Old Testament scriptures and read from them, then that will leave the impression that salvation is found in the Old Testament and will be misleading them. We'll be responsible for their souls. Now, that may sound far-fetched to you, but when I first started preaching full-time, there was a member of the church where I was at that held to that belief tenaciously. It was a burr in my saddle and the saddle of everybody else there. But he insisted that we not turn to study from the Old Testament scriptures. And none of us agreed with that. None of us had that understanding. But that was a headbutting that went on in that work there. And I cut my teeth somewhat on that kind of a false idea. While it is true that our salvation is found in the new covenant that is recorded in the New Testament, we have the Old Testament scriptures. They've been preserved for us. What use are we as Christians to make of the Old Testament scriptures? Well, the New Testament actually speaks this matter. We're going to look at the New Testament this morning. And we're going to see what the New Testament has to say about the Old Testament scriptures. First, we know that these Old Testament scriptures are profitable to us. In the book of 2 Timothy, again, in chapter 3, I have verses 16 and 17 on the chart here, but I want to back up and start at verse 14. Start our reading at verse 14. It says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Paul reminds Timothy that from childhood you have known the Scriptures. And these Scriptures are inspired and they're profitable. I ask the question, what Scriptures did Timothy have access to as a child? Well, yes, by the time 2 Timothy has been written, a lot of the New Testament, no doubt, has been penned and is being copied and circulated. But from childhood, what Scriptures did Timothy have? The Old Testament Scriptures. He had the Old Testament Scriptures, and they were able to make him wise to salvation. They were able to lead someone like young Timothy to his salvation. And to that, the Apostle Paul adds this instruction, all Scripture And that's not Matthew to Revelation, that's Genesis to Revelation. All Scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. It is the product of the mind of God. It comes from God Himself. It is inspired by God, and it is profitable. They're profitable to Timothy, and they're profitable to every other Christian living under the new covenant. They're profitable for doctrine. They teach us what is right and wrong. Profitable for reproof and correction. Those Old Testament scriptures show us when we are wrong and how to make those things right. For instruction in righteousness, keeping us on the right track. Verse 17 says that all Scripture is able to make us complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. If it's a good work, it's going to be found in Scripture. But notice, it's all Scripture that makes us complete and equipped for every good work. And if we are purposely confining ourselves to about one-third of Scripture, what are we doing? We are purposely keeping ourselves from being informed and being equipped to do every good work. Look at what we're doing to ourselves. What reason would we give God in judgment if we willingly refuse to study a part of His inspired Word? The Old Testament Scriptures are profitable for us. Secondly, the Old Testament Scriptures are given to us for our learning. In the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4, Paul writes and says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Let me ask you a question. Do you know anyone that doesn't need patience and comfort and hope? I know very few people that don't need a good dose of those three things. We need patience. Just try driving somewhere any day. We need comfort. Just turn on the news this morning. Last night we go to bed glad that that's happening all the way down there in El Paso, Texas, and wake up this morning and realize it's happening in our backyard. We need comfort and we need hope. Where does that come from? Where does that come from? It comes from the things that are written before. Now, what would that be in this context? Is that everything that Paul has written in Romans, Romans chapter 1 through chapter 15, verse 3? Is that what he's referring to when he talks about the things written before? No. Obviously, he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. And the Old Testament Scriptures are written for us. They're written for our learning. That means that God intends for Christians to learn some things that have been recorded in the Old Testament. If you think about it, turning your attention to the Old Testament Scriptures, there is not a New Testament equivalent to the first 11 chapters of Genesis. We've recently studied that in our Wednesday night class. And we've gone through it in detail. Well, the New Testament talks about the origin of the world and God's the Creator. It talks about the origin of man. It talks about sin and all that. But it doesn't go into near the detail those chapters do. And establishing the fact that God will punish sin, the flood, and letting us know where the nations have come from, the Tower of Babel and the scattering of mankind, the origin of the nations there. That's not repeated for us in the New Testament. God doesn't have to repeat it for us. It's already been recorded for us in the book of Genesis. There's no better example of dealing with the sin of fornication than Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. No better passage to deal with the error of Calvinism than Ezekiel chapter 18, "The soul who sins shall die." The comfort of the Psalms and the wisdom of the Proverbs applies to mankind universally, regardless of what covenant we are living under. These things were written for our learning. And if we purposely avoid them, look at all we are refusing to learn. Look at all the comfort and the patience and the hope that's available to us that we are purposely keeping ourselves from if we avoid the Old Testament Scriptures. Third, the Old Testament Scriptures are our examples. They're not our authority. We may not go there to establish authority. Now, this is what God would have us to do in the church today, but they are our examples. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The church in Corinth needed help. It needed help in so many different areas, so many different ways. And Paul here is talking about their mistreatment of one another and their rejection of God and the fact that they're dishonoring God in doing so, and they're walking a very dangerous pathway. He says, I want to start in verse 6. I want to read down through verse 11, but we have verse 11 here on the chart. That's where we're going to end up. Verse 6, now these things became our examples. What things? The falling of the children of Israel during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They didn't make it to their goal. And we need to heed that warning. They are an example to us. We need to learn from that. These things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We go back and study Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and there are lessons there for us today. Examples of unfaithfulness that we need to heed and we need to take seriously. These Old Testament Scriptures, the examples that are found in them are not examples of how you and I keep the law of Moses. They're examples of how we can live a life of faith that pleases God even today. But if we purposely avoid those, we don't read them, we don't want it preached on, we don't want to study it, look at what we are denying ourselves of. Look at what we are cutting ourselves off from. They are given for us. Here's something else that's interesting. The more and more you study the New Testament, the more and more you come to realize that the New Testament assumes that the readers know the Old Testament. And the more you read the New Testament, the more your eyes are open to that fact, to that reality. The New Testament does not repeat everything recorded, starting with the book of Genesis. The New Testament pretty much just picks up where the Old left off. You got 400 years of silence. But then after that, here comes John the Baptist. That's where the New Testament picks up. And it talks about the Jews who are living under the law of Moses, but it doesn't repeat that law for the benefit of the New Testament readers. It expects that you understand that law and understand some things about that law and why the Jews are doing the things they're doing and why they're teaching the things that they are teaching. Now, when someone becomes a Christian, I will always encourage them to read books from the New Testament to start with. I like to send them to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest account of the life of Christ. And if we're a follower of Christ, we need to know Christ. So I send people to the Gospel of Mark first to read it. And then after that, go to the book of Acts or go to the book of James. Go to some New Testament books and understand, get those books. But as one grows in their knowledge of the will of God, to understand the New Testament more fully, you need an understanding of the Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament is the backdrop for the New Testament. The New Testament builds on the Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament quotes the Old Testament over 700 times. 700 times. The book of Hebrews relies heavily upon a knowledge of the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, you can read through the book of Hebrews and the admonitions there to remain faithful, to have faith before God, to endure. They're there and anyone can understand them. But if you approach the book of Hebrews with an understanding of the book of Exodus and Leviticus and the work of the priesthood and the way God was to be worshipped in the tabernacle and then the temple, why, the book of Hebrews opens up to you completely. And there's so much of it that makes sense. And the points that the writer is making, they make much better sense. Now, if you have a good understanding of that Old Testament way of worship. Why don't people understand the book of Revelation? Now, that's not a statement that can be debated. People misunderstand the book of Revelation. Why is that? Well, I imagine a lot of it has to do with the way that it's written. Apocalyptic literature is not easy to read. And it's not easy to understand. But you know, I think one of the main reasons so many people have a problem understanding the book of Revelation is that over 75% of the book alludes to the Old Testament. And yet, you hand someone a Bible, what's the first book they want to read? They want to know the book of Revelation. They want to jump all the way back to the back. But if you haven't had all of this first, the book of Revelation isn't going to make a lick of sense to you. But if you spent some time studying the prophets, if you spent some time in the book of Ezekiel, and the book of Zechariah, and the book of Daniel, then when you get to the book of Revelation, some of the things that are found there, that makes sense now. I understand what that figure means. I understand what that I understand what's being conveyed with that passage now. If we have an understanding of the old, then we can better understand the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not saying that's going to automatically clear up everything with the book of Revelation, but it's sure going to help a lot. It's sure going to help a lot. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible for a reason. We need to understand that. The book of James, chapter 5. Let's look at James, chapter 5. Again, the New Testament assumes that we know something about the Old Testament. James 5, verses 10 and 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Not if you haven't read the Old Testament. If you haven't read the Old Testament, you don't know anything about the prophets. And you don't know anything about their example of patience. And you don't know who Job is, because this is the only time Job is mentioned in the New Testament, is in this verse right here. But see, the writer of the book of James expected that his readers knew the book of Job and knew the end that God intends for his people. See, the New Testament assumes that we know the Old Testament. I want to move on to the last point. And that is the fact that Jesus and His apostles used the Old Testament. Which I always thought was an interesting point when I heard that brother or hear others suggest that, no, we shouldn't be using the Old Testament Scriptures. Why don't you take that up with the Lord? Why don't you take that up with the Lord and talk to Him about that? Jesus was constantly referring His listeners back to the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is approached by a lawyer. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? You can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you find that kind of a question asked repeatedly by the Lord. He was constantly taking them back to the Old Testament Scriptures and telling them, how does it read to you? What is your reading of it? That's where your answer is found. Jesus used the Old Testament scriptures. Peter's, I want to look also at chapter 24. Chapter 24 and at verse 27. Here, this is after our Lord's resurrection from the dead. He is risen from the dead, and He appears to two men who are walking on the road to Emmaus. But their eyes are restrained, and they don't recognize that it's Jesus, and He asks them what they're upset about, and they talk about Jesus and how He's been killed, and we put all our hope in Him, and now we don't know what we're going to do. Verse 25, then He said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. I mentioned a few moments ago about things. I'd like to have been there and I'd like to have seen that. I'd like to have heard that sermon. Jesus goes all the way back to Moses and uses all those Old Testament scriptures to explain why the Christ had to die on the cross. Jesus didn't know anything about this idea that His followers didn't need the Old Testament. Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, the first gospel sermon that was preached, was based on Joel chapter 2 and Psalm 16 and Psalm 110. That was the text that was used to preach the first gospel sermon. And 3,000 souls were added to the Lord that day. They weren't confused about where their salvation was found. No, they understood. James in Acts chapter 15. James used Amos chapter 9 verses 11 and 12 to settle the question over uncircumcised Gentiles. Do they have to be circumcised or not? Well, here's what's written. He used the Old Testament scriptures. He didn't know anything about Christians not using those scriptures. Look at these other passages in the book of Acts. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, when Philip comes to him, remembers, here's him preaching Isaiah chapter 53. And the eunuch asks him some questions, and Philip begins to preach. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, what scripture? The Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 53, preached Jesus to him. You can preach Jesus from the Old Testament. He's there. He's all through the Old Testament. In the book of Acts chapter 17, when Paul comes to Thessalonica and goes into the synagogue, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. What Scriptures was he using? He's in a synagogue. The Old Testament Scriptures. That's all that they would have had. And he uses those Scriptures to bring them to an understanding of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, that is Paul, had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. He's quoting Old Testament scripture all day long as he's preaching Jesus to him. Now, if we're not allowed to go to the Old Testament, if we shouldn't go to the Old Testament, the Lord didn't know anything about it, His apostles didn't know anything about it. And thus, this church knows nothing about it either. The Old Testament scriptures are there. They are there for our benefit, for our learning. Saying that we are not under the law that is found in the Old Testament does not mean that we don't believe in the Old Testament. It means that we have rightly divided the word of truth. And we realize one covenant has ended and another one is now in force. But at the same time, we understand and we respect the importance of the Old Testament scriptures. There's not a single passage in the New Testament that condemns or even argues against profiting from the use of Old Testament scriptures. On the contrary, haven't we looked at a lot of New Testament verses that commend the Old Testament to us today? We certainly have. That's the message that the New Testament tells us, gives us regarding the Old Testament scriptures. When Jesus was on earth and he was being tempted by Satan to turn stones into bread, Jesus responded to the temptation by quoting a passage from Deuteronomy. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Remember, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God is God-breathed. It comes from His mouth. You and I are to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Not just these words here, but every word. Every word. Let's continue our study of the Old and New Testaments. Let's rightly divide the word of truth. Let's be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And let's learn how to be the people that God would have us to be. If you're here and you're not a Christian, not a child of God, you need to know that the entire Bible, Old and New Testament alike, leads you to Jesus Christ and the salvation that is found in Him. Because of sin, a death had to occur. And Jesus came and died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And before He ascended into heaven, He commissioned His apostles and sent them into all the world to preach the new covenant. And the way one becomes a Christian, saved today through the blood of Jesus Christ, is by repenting of their sins, confessing their faith, and being baptized in water for the remission of their sins. If that's your desire this morning, we'd be glad to assist you. Whatever your spiritual need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.